for coming today. Whether you're here in person and you managed to drive outside in cold Toronto, whether you're joining us live streamed on YouTube, thank you very much for coming and learning and engaging in Limud Torah and specifically in Limud Tanakh. My name is Idan Rakovsky. I am the rabbinic assistant. Rabbinic assistant at Shari Tfila Congregation. I'm also an Avrech here in Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, originally from Kibbutz Masuot Yitzchak in Israel. I'm not expecting anyone to know where that is. Maybe some of you know. Kibbutz Masuot Yitzchak, somewhere between Ashkelon and Ashdod, somewhere there. So that's where I'm from, and we're here, my wife Priel and myself, we're here in Shlichut to learn Torah, to teach Torah, to be a part of the wonderful Toronto Jewish community, and that's our second year in Shlichut, and we're very happy for this opportunity to be here and to learn with everyone. I want to open with some thank yous before I start our classes. People are coming in. I'll just mention again that there's Tanakhim at the back, and there's some sources, some booklets for the entire day. All the source sheets that you need for today are part of this booklet, and also bookmarks. How fun is to have a bookmark where you can put in any of your books, Tanakhim specifically, if you want, your Seder. It's always good to have Beit Midrash Zichron Dov with you everywhere you go. I want to open with some thank yous for whoever helped us in arranging and organizing this wonderful day of learning. So first of all, I want to thank the one and only Rabbi Turchiner, who is currently not in the room. He's outside staffing the door. But we all know Rabbi Turchiner. We all love Rabbi Turchiner. And I know he doesn't love to get those compliments in front of him. But because he's not in the room, I'm able to say that really nothing of that will be happening without his... We can give some hands. We can give an applause to Rabbi Turchiner. Without his great will and great motivation to be Mechazek Torah in Toronto. So thank you for Rabbi Turchiner. I want to also thank Rabbi Jared and Standing for printing the booklet and for putting everything together. So thank you, Rabbi and Standing, for that. I want to thank the office of Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, to Aya and to Esther for really organizing the entire thing on the side. Everything that is not content-wise has been under the responsibility of Aya and Esther in the office. So thank you very much for that. I want to thank Sha'arei Shamayim congregation for the Tanakhim we all use here. They greatly and generously allowed us to borrow those Tanakhim from them. So thank you for that. And I want to thank also Serena and David Kashitsky, the entire Kashitsky family, for dedicating the entire day of learning of Tanakh in a day in loving memory of Riva Kashitsky, Zichra Livracha. So thank you for that, and thank you again, all of you, for coming today. This year is called the Arc of Bereshit, Universalism to Particularism. Now, I'll be honest with you. As you know, I'm Israeli. That's not the kind of title that I would choose to my class. All right? Universalism to Particularism. It took me a while to know how to even pronounce the words. All right? But I'll be honest with you, that when I shared with Rabbi Turchiner what I wanted to open, when I knew I was going to open Tanakh in a Day, and I thought to myself, what can be a great class, a great introductory shiur to an entire day of learning focused on Jews and non-Jews in Tanakh? I said, okay, I have one shiur in mind that I have to give. I just don't have a good title. Rabbi Turchiner, please help me with a title. So thank you, Rabbi Turchiner, for that title. And here we go. So this shiur is dedicated by Sarah and Harry Ross, Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah's parent, Asher Zelig ben Tzvi Shlomo Zichro Livracha, and Bela bat Yosef Yehuda Zichro Livracha, and Harry's father Naftali ben Tzvi Zichro Livracha. May their neshama have an aliyah. So when we talk about Jews and non-Jews in Tanakh, there is so much to talk about. There is literally so much to talk about. Almost in every single page in Tanakh, there is something involving Jews and non-Jews. It's almost like the entire Tanakh is dealing with this issue, right? So, as an introductory shiur, I would say, as an introductory question, I want to put on the table, I would say, one of the most basic questions that we should all ask ourselves when we approach this day. What does the Torah have to say about non-Jews? Right? We believe, I hope, that Torah was given to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people. So why in the Torah there is so much stories and issues and discussions and this and that on non-Jews also? What does the Torah wants to teach us, to tell us about the world, about the non-Jewish world, and so on? This is my introductory question, and I think it's an important question to address for the entire day of learning. And I want to do that. Oh, I don't think I need it. Do I need it?
Yeah?
I should have it? Okay, I'll have it. Oh, wow. Okay. Here you go. Wow, that never happened before. So, do we have something we can put it on? Like a stand or something? You'll check. Thank you, Alka. Thank you, Alka, very much for helping with this, also for this arrangement. Thank you very much. You're the best. Thank you, Alka. So, I'll open it with a different question also. Like, what is the correct way of learning Tanakh? Now, look, I come from Eretz Israel, and in Eretz Israel, the learning of Tanakh is a little bit different. I'll be honest, a little bit different than how people outside of Israel learn Tanakh. There's a lot of reasons for that, why it's not for now, for the scope of this year to explain why. But the way we learn Tanakh in Israel, at least in many of the Zionist, religious Zionist yeshivot...
I changed my mind.
You changed my mind. I don't need it. I don't need it. Okay, here we go. All right, if I do need that, please let me know. All right? And I will bring that back. So, the way we learn Tanakh in the religious Zionist world is specifically going through almost every chapter that we can have and ask ourselves, what does this chapter has to tell me in a broader context? What do I mean? Take a look, for example. I'll give an example. So there's one verse in Bereshit 3:8, source number 1. The Torah tells us as follows when we talk about Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, walking in the Garden of Eden, in Gan Eden, it says as follows. Va'ishme'u et kol Hashem Elokim. They heard the sound of God moving about in the garden at the breezy time of day, and Edom and his wife hid from God among the trees of the garden. Now Rashi, the famous number one commentator, right, on the Torah, look what he says as followed. On the word va'ishme'u, on the word, right, they heard. What did they hear? What is the Spirit of God, the sound of God? What exactly does that mean? He says as followed. And they heard, source number 2, there are many midrashic stories, and they have already been organized in Bereshit, Rabbah, it's a book of rabbinic midrashic stories, and in other midrashic books. But that's not what I'm trying to do, says Rashi. What I'm trying to do, and that's an introduction he tells about himself for all of his commentary in Tanakh. He says as follows, what I'm here to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra, the plain meaning of the text. Putting aside midrashim for a moment, putting aside other stories that don't appear, don't come from the text. Let's first of all ask ourselves, what can we learn from the simple, plain text of the Tanakh? Right? It's very easy when a rabbi in a congregation, in a synagogue, wants to give a sermon at Shabbos morning, he will give a pasuk and he will tell this midrash and this story and that story. But sometimes we just miss the plain text. The simple text. What does the Torah really has to tell us? What does the Torah wants to tell us from this? And Rashi says, I am here to do one thing. I'm not here to bring, I will bring, he says, at times, the midrashic works that explains the word of the Torah, but he says I will do that step by step. Or in Hebrew, davar davur al ofanav, which is a quote from Tehillim. Step by step. We'll go one pasuk after the other, as Rashi does, and we'll explain every and each word that I need, think, Rashi says, need explanation, I will explain. So in Eretz Israel, we took this kind of shita, of method, of learning Tanakh, but we expanded it. Not only that we learn pasuk by pasuk, we learn chapter by chapter, and story by story, and parsha by parsha. And in my share today, what I want to do is not learn one pasuk, not learn one story, but I want to see, I want to track, I want to trace the vector, the movement, the direction that the Torah is pointing to when we open the Torah in Bereshit. Oh, thank you very much. I think I'm still stay close for that now. If you think I need it again, so let me know. All right, thank you, Alka. Thank you very much. So I want to open, why did the Torah open with Bereshit? What's the reason that the Torah opened with the story of the creation of the world, of Adam and Chava, of Noah, of Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Babylon, all the way to Avram Avinu? Why? Why did the Torah open that? So there is one famous answer that Rashi quotes from a Midrash, and I brought it in source number 3. Rashi quotes this Midrash. Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Torah should have actually began from the first explicit commandment. right? If you think about it for a moment, the Torah is the book of commandments. It's not a book of stories. Why do we need all those stories about Bereshit and the creation of the world and Noah and Adam v'Chava and Migdal Bavel, the Tower of God? Why do we need all of this? If the Torah is a simple codex of rules and laws for the Jewish people, why do we need all those stories? And he says, you know why? Even though it was supposed to open with the first commandment, which is a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is sanctifying the month, which is the first commandment. So why did the Torah begin from Bereshit, he says? In order to reveal His power works. Koach ma'asa v'gilemo. His power works. Kadosh Baruch Hu. God wanted to reveal to the world. As it says in Tehillim, in Psalms 111:6, He revealed to His people His powerful works. God wanted all nations to see the beauty of creation and the idea that He, God, is the one that is behind everything we're going to read. Everything we're going to experience. That doesn't matter if it's Jews or non-Jews. Sorry? Sorry? The blueprint, okay, might be. I'm not sure what blueprint is, sorry. But okay.
It's the outline.
Okay, the outline of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the entire creation. Now we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God created the world, He really thought He's creating a wonderful thing, right? How do we know that? Because He says Himself, look in source number 4. God says, and God saw all that had been made and found it very good. Right? And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God really thought that what everything He created is really wonderful. But what happened, as we all know,
we messed it up.
Right? Thank you. We messed it up. The people messed it up. I'll take questions at the end of the class. I didn't mention that at the beginning, but right? We're going to do the class until like 5 minutes before 10:30, then there will be time for questions. All right? And if not, I'm ashamed of that. All right? But there are going to be questions. Don't worry. So we can write it down. There's pencils at the back.
You're amazing,
and something. Right, thank you very much, sir. You're also amazing too. Thank you. But we are the one that messed it up. We are the one that messed it up. We are the one that really did, really, really, really did the things wrong. Look, for example, the Mishnah. Mishnah of Avot in source number 5 says, there were 10 generations from Adam to Noah. 10 generations from Adam to Noah. 2 parashot, 2 weekly Torah portions, 10 generations in between. In order to make known that long suffering is His, for all those generations kept on provoking Him, God, right? Until He brought upon them the waters of the flood. He created the world and He thought, this is amazing. This is tov me'od. Maybe not perfect. He didn't say mushlam. He didn't say perfect, but tov me'od. It's very good. So what happened? Why did God want to destroy everything that He just created again and maybe created from the beginning, from Bereshit again after the flood? Because people were not good. The people were corrupt. It's the people that caused it, right? And it continues and it says, and there were 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. Another parsha, from Noah to Lech Lecha. The third parsha of the Torah, 20 generations in the first 3 parshiot, the first three Torah portions. 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, in order to make known that long suffering is His, for all those generations kept on provoking Him again, until Abraham came and received the reward of all of them. So there's a difference between Abraham and Noah. But people also after the flood continued to be corrupted, people continued to not do what God wanted them to do, and that what happens. But I want to ask, based on those 3 parshiot, Bereshit, Noach, and Lech Lecha, from the creation of the world, Adam and Chava, Noach, right, or Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Babylon, and Avraham Avinu, that we're only introducing in Parshat Lech Lecha, the third weekly portion. What is going on here? What is going on here? What are we can see? And if we go through one parshiya over the other, what can we learn about Jews and non-Jews in Tanakh? So, take a look. In source number 6, because we said people are the one that ruined the world, the people are the one that were really corrupted and really the one that changed this wonderful world to be not so wonderful. In source number 6, after Adam, when he eats, right, and he convinces also Chava to eat from the tree of knowledge, then God tells him to follow. In source number 6, God called out to the human, to Adam, and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" Think about this question for a moment. Where are you, right? Now, when God asks those kind of questions, it's not that He doesn't know where Adam is. Obviously, you know where Adam is, right? That's not it's an educational question, right? It's an educational question. It's when God goes to Adam and really wants Adam to reveal himself and understand that what he did was wrong. But what is the next sin that we're approaching the Torah, where people are not doing what they were supposed to do? The next sin is Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hebel, right? Take a look. And after Cain is killing Hebel, then what happens? God also goes to Cain and asks him a question. Source number 7. God asks Cain. God said to Cain, "Where is your brother Hevel?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Hashomer achi anochi." Look at those two questions. Yeah, I didn't know, and he says it's followed. So look at those two questions. The first, I'll try to take questions at the end. All right, sorry for that. So take a look. The first question that God asked Adam is, "Where are you?" The second question on the second sin that appears in the Torah is, "Where is your brother?" Do you see there is a little bit difference in the questions between you and your brother? Let's carry on. Let's see how does it evolve. So the next sin that we see in the Torah is what? Noah and the flood, right? That's the next thing we see, that the people, after those 10 generations, started to become very, very, very corrupt. The Torah says as follows, in source number 8, the earth became corrupt before God, that in the times of Noah, right? Right before the flood. The earth was filled with chamas in Hebrew, which is robbery. How do we know it is robbery? Because the Gemara tells us in source number 9, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Come and see how great is the power of robbery, as the generation of the flood violated every precept. But their sentence to be destroyed was not sealed until they extended their hand and engaged in robbery." You see how it evolves? The first question is on the person, Ayeka, where are you? The next thing, we're already talking about the family, the sibling. Where is your brother? The third sin talks about robbery. Robbery is not about the family. It's not about the person. It's about the society. The chevra, as we say in Hebrew. The society now is corrupt. The sin is now focused on a bigger group. Not on one's household. Not on one's family. And not on one's personal, intimate connection with God. And what is the next sin that we have? What is the next sin? Migdal Babel. The Tower of Babylon. And what happens there? Take a look in source number 10. Vayafetz Hashem Otam. Thus God scattered them from there over the face of the whole earth. This is the punishment that they did after they tried to build this tower and reach God. And they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel. Why is it called Babel Babel? Because there God confounded the speech of the whole earth, and from there God scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Look what happens. If the last sin was talking about the society, was talking about robbery, this sin talks about the nation. God scattered them around. That's the beginning of different languages. That's the beginning of different nations. That's the beginning of different religions in the world. It all started like that. So take a look what we have here. The first sin is focused on the person. Ayeka, where are you? The second sin is already focused on the sibling. Where is your brother? God asks Cain. Where is your sibling? What about your household? The third sin is focused on what? On robbery, on the society. It's a broader, it's a bigger circle than one's household. And the last one talks about the nation, the people, that they're all scattered around, and each of them will start his own nation wherever there is in the world. Do you see here the progress? Do you see here the vector? When I opened this year and I said, when we learn Tanakh davar davar lofanav, step by step, it's not only like Rashi did, which is one pasuk, one verse over the other. It's also to try to zoom out and look on the entire book of Bereshit, of Genesis, from a wider perspective. To see how it evolves. How one parsha turns into another parsha, turns into a third parsha. How one sin turns into another sin, into a third and a fourth sin. And this is the first three parshiot. Bereshit, Noach, and Lech Lecha. And what happens after? What happens after God scattered all those people around? Then we're introduced to Avraham Avinu. Then we're introduced to Avraham. And the first opening line of the third Torah portion, Lech Lecha, that talks about Avraham, says as follows. Look how amazing the Torah is. Source number 11. God said to Avram, "You shall go from your land, from your homeland, from your father's house, to the land that I will let you see. I will make a great nation of you, and will give you blessing, and will make your name great. Be a blessing. I will bless those blessing you, while those insulting you I will curse, and all the nations of the earth will find blessings through you. Folks, take a look what happens here. Avram Avinu has us all aspects, all the elements we just spoke about, from the you of Adam Arishon, from the you that God asked, where are you? You appears here, right? You shall go. From where? Also from your father's house. Father's house is your sibling. That's the other circle that we have. That's what God asked Cain after he killed Abel, right? And then we have one more. We have your homeland. Your homeland means what? Your society. Where do you come from? What is your group? Where do you live? What is your broader context? And we also have here the fourth one, which is the land. The land represents the nation, represents the wider context, the person in the context of his nation. The person that knows where he comes from in a circle that is broader than himself, his family, his society. That's the Jewish people, for example. That's the nation. So Avram Avinu, as we reach the third Torah portion, has those all three elements into one. And if I want to go back to the first opening question, so why did the Torah open with Bereshit, and then with Noach, and then with Lech Lecha? One answer is like what Rashi quoted in the Midrash, to see the wonderful wonders of God, to see how mighty God is, that everything that is created is from God. But I can want, from my humble opinion, to also offer another view. And the reason the Torah opened with Bereshit, Noach, and Lech Lecha is for us to first of all understand that before we talk about the laws, before we talk about the rules that are all true for the Jewish people, for the Jewish nation, as the last step, before that, there is the individual, the person. Doesn't matter if he's a Jew or non-Jew. Doesn't matter who he is. Adam was not Jewish. Adam was not Jewish. And Noah was not Jewish also. Before we talk about all of this, we first of all talk about the person, the individual. Then we talk about the household, the family, the sibling. This is what's important. Then we're going to talk about the society. Not for no reason. We know that also non-Jews are commanded in Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. The seven, Noach, I think that the word in English, right? The seven commandments of Noach for Noach's children. Because they're all Noach's children. Not only Jews are Noach's children. And the Torah opened with that to tell us the entire world was created for everyone. For everyone. Also for non-Jews. We also share the world with them, and that's fine. This is lechatchila. That's what the way it's supposed to do, and how it's supposed to be. But then, slowly as it progresses, slowly as it evolves, the Torah turns from this universal message that all creatures were created in the image of God, that we all should share our living, our existence with also with everyone, also with the non-Jews. Slowly, slowly, the Torah turns to be more particular, to talk about the nation. And not about other nations, about our nation, the Jewish nation. To talk about Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu has all those elements in him. And this is why Avram Avinu, when he is being blessed by God, his bracha, his blessing, that he will be a blessing to everyone. All nations should be blessed by you, says God to Avraham Avinu. Because Avram Avinu is the father, not only of Judaism. We know he's the father of all monotheism religions. He's the father of Islam and he's the father of Christianity. And we know, and we want to say, that by opening the Torah, with talking about everyone, and again, talking about all non-Jews, all creatures, the individual. You can see I brought here the circles at the end so we can make that a little bit more sense. So you can see the first story talks about the individual, which is a very universal message. This is from Bereshit. Slowly it evolves into the family, which talks about Cain, then about the society, then about the nation, the Jewish nation, which is the particular talking about, which is Parshat Lech Lecha. This vector, this direction, tells us what is the moral way of living. Tells us that the Torah was begin with Bereshit because we all share the world. We all share this creation, this wonderful creation of God. But the Torah, the ruling of the Torah later on, is something particular to the Jewish people. And in light of this, any other class that will be here today should be read and understood accordingly. That when we talk about Jews and non-Jews in Tanakh, we should all the time put in the back of our minds. Doesn't matter how bad and wrong the stories we're about to hear throughout this day. That the entire world was created for everyone, and the Torah was given to the Jewish people. Thank you very, very much. If there's any questions, I would love to get. Quick question? Yeah.
Why Bereshit? We're told that the Mephistah
Yeah, that's Rashi quote on this midrash. Yes, for the right, one of the answers, for the right of the land of Israel, that the people will know that God created the land, and therefore it's in our right. I know there was a question also in the back. Yes?
Excuse my
ignorance.
Okay. So free. But the issue is, Hashem made us. Just like when I made the pit, he must have known. It's sort of like he could change things. He could have diverted. Do you follow where I'm coming from? He made us, I don't see that.
You're talking about the sins.
The sins, yes.
Okay, no, that's a very complicated question. No, 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 at all. I totally hear. No, it's totally not. Totally not. I think the question of like how, what, I think we can all like clarify the question, like why were Adam and Chava punished for something that God wanted them to do. But this question is a broader question for the scope, unfortunately, of this class. But you all have my email also at the top. I would love to follow up on this question if someone wants to. There's a lot to be said here. Are there any more questions? So on that side, maybe one is one of those questions? Yes.
Potential to what you're doing, but I'm uncomfortable with the notion of all or nothing. So, in other words, you have Adam and Eve representing all mankind, whether their kids were born or not. Yes, that's one. You have Abraham getting the reward for all. Like, really? You know, it's not enough just for him to get a reward for what he did. It's like, it's almost like a dial-in show for radio. This caller doesn't get it, the next caller gets the cumulative.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with the notion of all or nothing, which comes in there. And then Beyamenu, in our time, when we look at a society in terms of good or evil, we count the children under a certain age as perfectly innocent, which is a non-biblical viewpoint. Because the children don't seem to count what we do.
Uh-huh.
So some of the people are uncomfortable because they don't seem to take into account all that.
I think I'll take that. I'll leave that as a comment. I think there's a lot to be said on this one. But I can feel your sense of feeling uncomfortable with saying all and everything, but all or none. But again, the Torah had to decide here how to write it down. So in that sense, it is all or no one. In that sense, maybe in our time we should understand it in a more complicated way. And I think you're right, but unfortunately not for the scope of this class. Yeah, yeah. There's also religions that are not Abrahamic, right? We have a religion that are not part of the Abrahamic religion, and we also call them Avodah Zarah in that sense. You're right. There's a lot to be said also on the broader scope of those who don't fill in to these two things. But I want to thank everyone, and I want to wish everyone again a Chanukah Sameach, and thank you everyone for coming in. And I would just say thank you very much. Thank you. I would say that again, at the back, there is some booklets and bookmarks and Tanakhim, and there is coffee outside, so please feel free. We'll start in 2 minutes. Rav Yehuda Mann, my dear friend, will start his next tier. Here he is. Or Moishi, one of the two. We'll start their class. So thank you very much for coming today, and have a great day of learning.